To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And that child will be the king who will bring an end to war and oppression and all the darkness of the world. He will be the king of light. He will be the perfect king who will rule forever and bring eternal peace. And not the peace of the tyrant, who brings the peace of the grave by crushing dissent and killing anyone who dares to oppose him. Now, his will be a peace of life and growth in which all the world will flourish. He will bring this about through his wisdom, for he is the miraculously wise counselor, the one who speaks and leads with the perfect wisdom of the Lord of all creation. And he will bring this about through his power, for he is the mighty God. And the word, that word mighty in the Hebrew is an adjective, but it's one which is often used as a noun, rather like our national anthem calls America the land of the free and the home of the brave. And it was used to mean a great warrior or a great hero, one who is mighty in physical strength, mighty at arms. And the point, the meaning of it here is clear, that this child who is king because he is God will not only rule with the wisdom of God, but he will defend his people with the power of God. And so he will be incomparably mighty in battle. He will defeat all his enemies, and he will never be overcome. His kingdom will endure forever, because there will never be any power that can conquer it. And it will grow forever, because there will never be any power that can stand against it. His people will know absolute security and freedom from any threat. Now, that, so far, all sounds conventional enough. You study history for any great length of time, you figure out pretty quickly that empires rise and grow by winning battles and winning wars. And as long as they keep winning, they keep growing. And when they start losing, they start to shrink. So if you're going to envision a ruler who will reign forever and whose kingdom will never stop expanding, it's probably going to have to be someone who never loses a battle, let alone a war. The greatest empire builders in human history have been military geniuses like Alexander the Great. So that all seems fairly intuitive. But the funny thing is, that's not actually what God has in mind. Look at the Gospel of John. In fact, if you want to follow, you can flip a couple pages earlier. Look at John 18. Jesus has, just celebrated the Passover supper with his disciples. Judas has gone out to betray him. And he now leads his other disciples out to meet Judas. He knows Judas has sold him out. He knows Judas will be leading the soldiers. He knows where Judas will be leading the soldiers. He could very easily have avoided the arrest. But he doesn't. And in fact, he practically volunteers to be arrested. He actually has to tell them twice who he is before they begin to arrest him. Later, he's being interrogated by the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, who is quite bewildered by the whole situation. And he tells Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest, but now my kingdom is from another place." A little later, John 19, Pilate is trying to negotiate with the crowds because he just wants out of this situation. He comes back to Jesus. He's asking for a little help, please, something. And finally says, "Don't you realize I have the power to free you or to crucify you? Don't you understand where you're sitting and who I am and what you're in for?" And Jesus responds, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." And so he was crucified. He really didn't leave Pilate any choice. And then he got up, alive again after being tortured to death. And not only alive again, but you might expect someone who had been brutally killed by judicial murder to have a little bit of resentment about the whole situation. You might have expected him to come back in something of a bad mood, but no. He comes back and he says, "Peace. Peace be with you." He is alive and he's all the way himself, and in fact, more than. I mean, he's able to do things like appear in the middle of locked rooms. I don't know if he walked through the walls. I don't know if he had the spiritual gift of teleportation. One that I've prayed for on occasion would have been very convenient. But whatever it is, he can do things that nobody else can do. He's alive. And he gives his disciples the Holy Spirit, though they don't fully receive that gift for a few weeks. But he gives them his Spirit in order to commission them as his ambassadors to the world. His mission is drawing to a close. They're now going to carry it on. And they will carry it on in the same power that he had, which is the power of God's Spirit, and in the same way that he did. This is the mighty God whose kingdom shall never end. The mighty God who shall be mighty above all in battle, who never once led men at arms, never once led soldiers on the field of combat, and who not only in his earthly life did not march from victory to victory, but was captured and executed like a common thief. This is the mighty God, the all-victorious one, who suffered what seemed to be the ultimate defeat. But the thing is, he did it on purpose. Because he wasn't focused where we're focused. He wasn't focused on the things of this world. He wasn't focused on overcoming earthly rulers. He was hunting much bigger game. He was after a far greater enemy than can be overcome in this life. His battle was not against people, not against any human structures. His battle was against sin and against death. And to beat them, he had to face them on their own turf. He allowed himself to be brutally murdered so that he could go one-on-one with death. And it was a 3-day battle, but he won in a knockout. This is how the mighty God goes to war. And this is how he fights his earthly enemies. With mercy. By making himself vulnerable. Sacrificing his life for us. And this is how he calls those of us who worship him to fight for him. By not fighting. By loving our enemies. Showing grace and mercy to the undeserving. And sacrificing our lives for those around us. And if this often looks like the way of defeat, we can look to his example. And remember that the greatest defeat that this world could deal was his way to ultimate victory. Let's pray.